Hey, everybody, this is Steli Efti.
And this is Heaton Shaw.
And today on the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about the messy middle, or what I like to call it, the awkward teenage years of your business.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
We want you to do your best.
So we've talked a ton about the super early stage days, like how to come up with an idea, how to validate an idea, how to build an MVP, how to get your first customer, your first 10 customers, you know, how to hire your first couple of team members. Like we've talked a ton about kind of the super early days as founders and in your startup. And a lot of the topics that we discuss kind of touch all stages and phases of a business. But today I wanted to talk to you about the most awkward time and probably the largest phase, or the maybe not the largest, but a very kind of significant phase, which is the phase in your company where, you know, your business is up and running, you have customers, you have customer growth, you have a bunch of team members, and kind of you're not in the hyper early pre-product market fit. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know who's our buyer. We don't know if we're going to, you know, ever generate any money or how to market and sell and grow this thing. You're not in those early days. You've passed through that stage of your startup, but you're not quite yet at a place where you're just at hyper scale and hyper growth, or where you're now a super mature, super stable business. You're kind of in the awkward middle phase, right? And I wanted to chat with you a little bit about kind of, we've both gone through these phases with multiple businesses. You know, what do founders need to know about the messy middle? How do they need to prepare for it? What mistakes to avoid? I thought it'd be fun for us to unpack kind of that, the most awkward phase of your business, basically.
Yeah, so Scott Belsky, who's now, I think, Chief Product Officer at Adobe, he wrote a whole book with the title The Messy Middle. So we should definitely give him props.
Yeah,
and a shout out. I bumped into him somewhere the other day in the morning, and I didn't recognize him. He's looking a little different these days. Looking good, though. So yeah, wanted to shout out. Great book. You should read it. That being said, we've got our own thoughts on this, so we should share our thoughts that have probably very little to do with what's in the book, even though the book's great. And so we're going to focus on that. So, but I really like the naming, The Messy Middle, the teenage years, like you said. It's really crazy how, even if you've done it before, whatever company you're working on now looks different than the one that you worked on in the past. Even if you're in the same market, building similar product, it just looks different. And you might be literally, you know, have spent a lot of time creating a mess, to be honest. The reason it's a messy middle is not because the middle's messy. It's because what got you to the middle usually means you created a mess. And so, you know, the state of the business, and you could be self-funded, you could be venture-backed, doesn't really matter. You tend to have scrambled, if you want to call it hustled, you want to call it been really scrappy to get to ramen profitable or to get to product market fit or to get to some, I wouldn't even say getting to product market fit is as important as having some resemblance of a business, something that people want to, you know, use, pay for, whatever what you're looking for. To hit that milestone, it was just messy. And from personal experience, it's usually you're really just scrambling to figure out what is going to work. And one of the things that I'll throw out and say is one of the messiest that I've seen more recently is your tech gets really messy.
Yeah.
And you produce a lot of tech debt. Even if you're conscious of tech debt, sometimes a bigger issue is the people who are helping you from an engineering standpoint, even if you're the engineer early on, you're literally just scrambling and tweaking things and changing things on a weekly basis. And some of it's based on actual, you know, customer information and data and things like that. Some of it's just literally your intuition and where you think things should go. So it's a lot messier time than when you have even more customers. And you're able to actually take more signal from them or figure out kind of where the market is because you actually already know what market you're in and who the customer is you're serving. So it's really messy. Like you're either changing your customer a lot, you're changing your product a lot, you're doing different types of things in the company that are have no structure and aren't formalized or repeatable yet, but they might be working. So I'll give a few examples from my business. So at my current business, FYI, we've accrued a lot of tech debt, some of it on purpose, some of it not. And as we're going from what I call a single player product, where you can sign up and get a lot of use of it without sharing what it is, because you can go look at it, it's at usefy.com, but that's not the point. You can get use out of it as a single player, as a single person inside of a company, or even personal use cases. As we've been developing and learning from those use cases, what teams need, what companies need, which are a little different than teams, we've had to reevaluate all of our code and the things we're doing, because there are things that we need to do going forward to support the team and the company use case that the current tech just wasn't able to do. And it wasn't anyone's fault. It was just, we had a scramble to get to this thing that was useful for individuals. And now we're not even scrambling. We're a lot more structured, a lot more thoughtful. We have a lot more methodology on how we're iterating, but we've had to rewrite pretty much most of the product. And it's because what got us to this point isn't what's going to get us to the next milestones. So I think that's a big one on tech debt. I'll say one more on my business today. So we've been doing a lot of marketing in terms of like learning how to produce content, learning how to sort of use social, specifically LinkedIn and Twitter, as like ways to get traffic and ways to kind of get in on different conversations, is the way I like to say it. And a lot of that, for the longest time, until maybe 6 months ago, maybe a little longer, we were just not very structured about it. And we were just basically doing what we know how to do, which is we know how to write, we know how to communicate, we know how to like put things on a blog and stuff like that. But it wasn't very structured. And it wasn't like systematic. And we didn't have like a process for the content. We were just writing a bunch, coming up with topics more ad hoc, you know, posting on social. And, you know, we've gotten so much more systematic about it. It's gotten a lot more cleaned up. We've actually structured some of the help that we're getting on it, whether it's contractors or the images that we produce for it. Everything's just gotten better. Even launching on Product Hunt for us has gotten much more systematic, much more better as we've done it more. Even the way that we build certain tools and launch them on Product Hunt as a part of our marketing, part of our sort of inbound marketing strategy. And even that's gotten better, but it's been really messy. And so it's almost like you're picking off messes and basically picking and knowing, you know, I hope that I wish I was more conscious about this in the past, but really now I'm like, okay, I look back and I'm like, okay, what's a mess? Does it need to be cleaned up right now or not? If yes, clean it up. If not, like, wait and let it be messy.
Yeah. All right. I love all of this. So here's some of the experiences that we have gone through and some of the lessons learned that I think could be valuable to share. So I couldn't agree more with kind of the debt that you accrue. One way that I think about it is that, you know, I mean, all of life is a balancing act, a business very much so as well. And I feel like one of the biggest challenges that you have is in the early days, you have to make very distinct and specific choices to start getting movement and progress and eventually momentum going, right? It's very hard to kind of start something from nothing and build up momentum for that thing. And you'll have to make very kind of shrewd decisions that at times will be best for the short term, but not so good for the long term, right? And then as you build more momentum, you hopefully start shifting from being 80% short-term focused, you know, and 20% long-term to like 60-40, 50-50. And eventually at some point that ratio has to switch where almost most of the things that you do are very long-term investments and just a few little things are short-term investments or mid-term investments. And like tipping the balance from like being hyper-focused on short-term results to mid-term to getting really hyper-focused on long-term, it's a gradual thing and it's very hard to get the timing perfectly right for this. Right. So a lot of times what will happen is that as your company is succeeding, one of the curses of success or, you know, doing anything that works is that you're going to develop a bias to want to just keep doing the thing that works. And you are also going to develop a bias to not be doing the things that weren't good to be done in the early days. But kind of, that's the biggest trap, right? So You do a bunch of stuff that was working in the early days when you had zero customers. Well, now you have 500 customers. You have 1,000 customers. And those same strategies will very, it's very unlikely that the same strategies that get you to your first 10 will be the best ones to keep hyper-focusing on to get from 1,000 to 10,000. You're probably going to have to expand what you do or change what you do significantly. And getting that balancing act right between what are the things that we want to hold on to versus what are the things that we need to let go of and what are the new things we need to get good at. I think that kind of that balancing act, those choices are really the tricky choices that you have to make. And the metaphor that I use oftentimes when I talk about this with my team is the kind of awkward teenage years. And to me, that's such a great metaphor because when you're a teenager, you're neither an adult nor a child anymore, right? And that's what sucks about it. That's the tricky part about it because most teenagers, most of us, when we went through our teenage years, we wanted to act like children when convenient, but be treated like adults in many areas. Yep. And I think that that's what I see in a lot of businesses that go through the messy middle is they still want to act exactly the way they acted when they were three co-founders, you know, in a dorm room or in a garage or in a small apartment. Like they want to keep that, the whatever was beautiful about that kind of light early days when everything was possible, you were brainstorming, you didn't have to have any process or any meetings or anything really. You just like, it was just a bunch of friends building something cool. They want to keep the same processes going and this kind of the same reality going, but you're not a baby startup anymore. You're not a child. You're not three friends building something. Now you have employees, you have customers, you have technical debt, you have infrastructure, you have scale, you have revenue, you have losses, you have profits, you have bank accounts, you have taxes to pay. Like you're just not in that phase anymore. So you can't act like that. But you don't want to act too adult either. You don't want to, you know, now just because you went from a three-person team to a 10-person team, it's probably still not the right time to hire a 20-person accounting, finances, and tax team, right? Like, you don't want to act too adult and be ahead of the curve and kill things with acting like you're IBM or Microsoft and building the same processes because in the same infrastructure because that's going to kill you, the weight of that, because it's way too far ahead of where you are. So finding that balance of, like, growing up a bit and acting more adult and asking yourself, okay, what is right for the phase, team, and stage that we're at right now? And where do we need to like step up our game versus what are the areas that we want to still hold on to when it comes to our energy, our creativity, how casual we are? Like, how do we make sure that we don't grow up too much or pretend we're too adult too much, but we do step up our game? I think that's really the tricky part. And for us, to give a very specific example, I mean, we went through all the same stuff. And this is a never ending road of, like, you know, building up technical debt versus paying it. Like, this is, again, even still today, there's a never ending negotiation, a healthy negotiation that's going on like, how much of the technical debt that we're accruing do we want to pay off monthly, right? How much do we want to invest in infrastructure and in speed? How much do we want to invest in fixing some of the older parts of our code? So how much do we want to invest in going back to older parts of the product and reimagining it or improving it, making incremental improvements versus how much do we want to invest in innovation, new products, new features, new things that we do that could be revenue drivers or growth drivers? It's a never-ending negotiation. And we went through some of the same and similar challenges that you have. I think one big more mental or philosophical challenge that we went through when we hit the kind of messy middle was being dogmatic about not wanting to play the playbook. I'll call it that, right? Which is, there are a bunch of things that companies have done once they hit our level of scale to get to the next level of scale. A lot of these are kind of very much, there's a playbook, you know, there's a playbook when it comes to growing a company, scaling a company, and there's ways to break some of those rules, but there are some, you know, common rules that a lot of companies applied, and they applied it for good reason, right? And they work for good reasons. And I think that we were for too long kind of too dogmatic about not wanting to play the playbook, not wanting to go through some of the things that companies do that were at our stage to get to the next stage, because I don't know, to some degree, we just didn't like some of these activities. So it was just a being childish again, like not doing what you're supposed to do, but wanting to do what you want to do, like a little child, just being like, but that stuff is no fun. Like, but we never had to do that stuff. Why do we have to do it now? Or even worse, everybody's doing that stuff. We don't want to do what everybody does. And I think that that's very kind of a very immature stance that we took for too long. And it really slowed us down until we kind of snapped out of it and went, okay, like we need to hold on to what makes us unique, but there's certain things that just make sense. So let's just go and do them. Let's not be little children about it. Let's just like grow up and tackle these things that will make this business better, right? And that will help our customers and help us grow. So I think that that was a really big kind of mental block that we had going through it. One last thing I'll say before we wrap up the episode. The one thing that we also, that I kind of learned is that there, that the way you build the team and the type of people you want to attract to your team need to also kind of fit the stage that you're in. And so the early days, you might want to hire a lot more kind of hyper entrepreneurial, hyper, you know, just people that have massive motivation, very productive, get shit done, generalists, people that can jump on different problems and figure them out, even if they've never tackled it before. Like there's a certain type of person that will do super well as a team member of yours in the hyper early days. And then there's people that will do really well hiring them when you're very late stage and kind of a scaled business. The messy middle part, one of the biggest things that we're looking for and that I think you need to look for is